Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 49, starting at verse 1. "And Jacob called unto his sons, and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days." Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for the people listening to me. They have needs. They have things that trouble them. They have situations in life that they have to deal with. And Lord, I believe that you are on your throne. I believe that nothing is too difficult for you. And I'm asking you to help them. I'm asking you, Lord, if they need to know what to do, then Lord, somehow speak to them. Give them a word from heaven. Lord, if it's from the pages of the Bible, or maybe they're listening to their pastor and they hear something that helps them, or whatever the case. Lord, if they're sick in their body, please heal them. Your word says that everywhere Jesus went, he healed the sick. Lord, I believe that Jesus is with us here today, so I'm asking you to have mercy. And those that are sick, please heal them. Those with financial troubles, Lord, you can supply our every need. Lord, I can go on. People have all sorts of troubles and tribulations and trials and what have you. But I believe that you're able to meet every need. I believe that there's nothing, as I said, that is too hard for you. Now, Lord, as for the program today, help me to preach what I believe you've given me to say. And Lord, those listening, help them to see Jesus. And Lord, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days." Now, this is right at the end of Genesis. And Jacob, we know who Jacob is, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is prophesying over his sons. We know that he had 12 sons, what have you. He is prophesying over them. And in the previous chapter, he also prophesies over Joseph's two sons. And I would encourage you to read these things. And I am a student of Bible prophecy, and I don't know if I'm that good of a student, actually. But he is saying, in these two chapters, he is describing his sons, he's describing their personalities, he's describing the things that their makeup would basically lead them to do and determine the choices that they would make. And also it talks about what God himself would do in the lives of those that belong to each particular tribe. And in particular, I want to talk about Judah and Joseph, two of Jacob's sons. Now, as we go along, and I don't mean just today, as we go along for the next few months or however long it is, I feel impressed of the Lord to preach from the Old Testament. And many of the things that I touch on will be familiar. I'm sure that at some point I'll talk about Noah. At some point I'll talk about when Moses led the children of Israel free. I'm sure that most of the stories that, or many of the stories that we're familiar with, I'll go ahead and try to preach on those. And possibly there may be something that I'll have that you've not heard of or read over and didn't understand. But I believe that the Lord has impressed me to spend some time in the Old Testament. And as you listen to me, and as you'll see today, when I preach from the Old Testament, these are not just Bible stories. These are not just things that we read about or talk about in Sunday school. But the things in the Old Testament, the events, the lives, the places, the names of the places, the enemies that Israel came up against, what have you, all of these things are written for a reason. And I've given, I guess, an introduction, a typology, two or three times in this program. And as you know, that I used to teach the study of the types in a Bible college here locally. And a number of the things that I will bring out in the next few programs, or however long I stay in the Old Testament, some of these things will be about the types. But in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll just touch on it very briefly to say that Paul said that all of these things in the Old Testament were written for our examples. And I believe that as we look at the things in the Old Testament, we will see Jesus Christ. And I believe that there's no greater way to do that than to find this chapter right here, chapter 49 of Genesis, and take a look at what he says in prophesying to his sons, to take a look at what he says about Jesus Christ. So let's begin reading. Well, let's look at verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Now, if you know the story of the rest of the book of Genesis, if you've had a chance to read through it, or perhaps study it or hear sermons on it, when he makes mention of this or that, you'll see that he's recalling the things that happened in their lives. Now, it says right here, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. And we know that the word Judah itself means praise. So it's kind of perhaps a play on words or what have you. One of the things that I enjoy reading is Hebrew poetry. I don't like poetry in English. I don't like, well, I like to make puns and stupid little sayings, but I don't like things that rhyme in English. I would fall asleep if you gave me a poetry book to read. But Hebrew poetry many times will rhyme, but not in sound, but it'll rhyme in thought. And I believe that this is one of the things that is an example of that. He uses the word praise twice. Praise, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. And you will find, for instance, in verse 19, if I'm not mistaken, the name Gad means troop, if I may be mistaken, but I think that's correct. And in verse 19 it says, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Gad, in other words, troop, a troop shall overcome him. Again, these echoes or rhymings or plays on words or what have you. You'll find that many times in the Old Testament. And it's has something to do with the way that the language of Hebrew is constructed. But it says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies, and thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Now this part about that your hand would be on the neck of thine enemies, we know that Judah is in the line of Christ. We know that David came through the lineage of Judah. We know that Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We know that David was a victor. We know that David conquered his enemies. We know that David set up the kingdom of Israel. And we know that Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, we know that he was victorious over sin. We know that he was victorious when he died on the cross and rose up from the dead. So, we can praise God for the fact that this tribe, Judah, was victorious over the enemies of that tribe, over the enemies of the Jews, and over the enemies of mankind, which is Satan. Verse 9, Well, let's look. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. We know that everyone should bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, Judah is a lion's whelp. And we mentioned that, the lion of the tribe of Judah. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? In other words, lion having to do with the fact that a lion is king of the jungle. There's that imagery. But look at this verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Let me say that again. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. We know that Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews. We know that David was King of Israel. So we can look at the kingly lineage, and I've mentioned this before. You can turn to the book of Matthew and read that genealogy, that lineage. We know that God instituted the kings beginning with David, and that Christ is the son of David, he's the son of Solomon, he's the son of, and it goes on down through Joseph and then through Christ. But the scepter, in other words, we know what a scepter is. That's the object that a king holds, and it's the symbol of his power. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh is a word that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that he's the King of the Jews, and we know that all men should gather unto him. Every man should come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. This is the gospel that we preach. Every man should gather himself to Christ, binding his foal under the vine, and his ass's colt under the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. Now, we understand that Christ had to die. We understand that he went to the cross and shed his blood. And this makes a reference to that he suffered. Now, it doesn't really mention suffering, but it does mention blood. And I say that because the next person we're going to talk about is Joseph, and that specifically does talk about suffering. His eyes should be red with wine, in verse 12, and his teeth white with milk. And that basically is the end of the passage that talks about Judah. But again, I want to stop and say that this is a prophecy. Now, just as Jacob said in verse 1, gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. We know that he was prophesying. We know that Christ came from the tribe of Judah, and we have this wonderful victory over sin that Christ gave his life for us, and he is our victor. Now, I want to turn, or I want to jump to verse 22 and begin to talk about Joseph, but I'd like to say that right here Christ is pictured as a victor. Right here Christ is pictured as the king. Now, we know that Jesus is the king. And when he was born in Bethlehem, he was born the King of the Jews. But he was not received as king. He was not received as anything worthy of anything. And when he began his ministry, many people followed him, obviously, but many people rejected him. The Pharisees rejected him. Rome didn't want to have anything to do with him, what have you. But Judah, it talks about victory. It talks about the king. But in verse 22, it talks about Joseph. And it says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Now, we know that Joseph had two sons. We know that that's a fruitful thing. And it talks about a well. You can talk about the tree that's planted by the rivers of water. We know that that speaks of the Holy Spirit. That would do something in our lives as we allow the Lord to bless us and use us, and as we spend time in his word, that we will begin to be fruitful in our lives. But look at verse 23. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength. And I want to stop there at the middle of that verse 24. It says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him. Now, I remember the story of Joseph. I don't remember anybody shooting arrows at him. But this is written in symbolic language. Certainly the hated him part is true. Certainly his brothers hated him when he went to them and said, hey, you know, the Lord has spoken to me, and he said that everyone would bow down to me and what have you. They hated him. When his father, Jacob, basically made Joseph the favorite, all of his brothers resented it, and they hated him. And we know the story that they threw him in a well, and then he came up out of the well. And I mentioned on this program before that that is a symbol, but it's really a type of the fact that Jesus Christ was put under the ground and then came up out of the ground. In other words, it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But it talks about the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. And again, as I said, that's a symbolic thing. We know that most of the world does not like Christ. Most of the world hates Christ. Many religions have been fought in the name of, many wars have been fought in the name of religion, and many of them had to do with Christianity versus some other religion. We know that today there are many attacks. I mean, forgetting the part about wars and what have you, we know that there are many attacks against the Word of God. Many, you can look at modernism, you can look at postmodernism, you can look at various things, psychology and what have you. All of these things, and evolution, there's another one. These things attack the Word of God. The Bible gives the answer. The Bible gives our Genesis. It talks about where man came from. The Bible tells us that we should follow Christ and heed the prophets. The Bible tells that we should live our life according to the law of Moses and also according to the law that Christ gave, the law of grace. And it talks about the end of the world, that Christ will come back for us and to judge the evil that is in the world. But the world does not appreciate that message. Satan does not appreciate that message. The evolutionists say that, well, you know, we came from monkeys. That is an attack against the Word of God. Now, if you want to believe that you're a monkey's uncle, that's fine. But I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible is true. I don't know, there's a lot of things that they study, archaeology and what have you, but I do know that the Bible is true. And God created Adam out of the dust of the ground. He put his breath into him, and Adam became a living soul. I believe it. I believe in prophecy. I believe in the things that God has spoken that would come to pass in the future. You can look at the fact that Israel, in 1948, almost out of nowhere, became a nation again. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 66 and read it. It says, who can believe such a thing that in one day a nation would spring forth? I believe that Jesus said that we can look to the fig tree and we can say, hey, wait, you know, something's happening there. And the olive tree mentions many, many types of imagery. He talks about the fact that if you look at Israel, that's our barometer. If you look at Israel, that's our weather vane, if you will. That we can know that something is coming. We can know that the end of the world is coming. We can know that Christ is coming back by looking at Israel. But many attacks against the Word of God. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. We can talk about the prophets. Many of them were killed. Many of the apostles were tortured and martyred. We can read about all of the people all through the ages that attempted to take the Word of God and the message of salvation by faith to the entire world. And we can read about the different places that they were martyred, that the local religions rejected them and had them killed, or many times tortured or what have you. But still we press on trying to preach the gospel. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But verse 24, but his bow abode in strength. And the arms of the hands of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now we know that Christ, and we just read it in the book of, in starting in verse 8, talking about Judah, we know that Christ came through the tribe of Judah. But it says right here, talking about Joseph, from thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. We knew that Christ is the great shepherd. But it says Christ is from Joseph. How can this be? How can this possibly be that Christ would come through two of these brothers? And the answer is that if you look at the life of Judah, it talks about victory. That your hand will be on the neck of your enemies, it says in verse 8. We know that Jesus Christ will return in victory. We know that he will come to set up his throne, and the kingdom that he sets up will last for 1,000 years. We know these things. But you see, before we get to that point in time, Christ had to come the first time. And he was born, as I mentioned a while ago, in a stable. He was rejected. He was ignored. Yes, some came to worship him. Certainly the three wise men came. Many people followed him in his ministry, but as we know, he was rejected. He was crucified. He was put to death. You see, if you look at the life of Joseph, Joseph suffered. I mentioned some of the things, that he was thrown into a well, whatever. You can read the rest of his life just a few pages back in the book of Genesis. You can see the things that he suffered. And you can also see that God blessed him, gave him a couple of sons. And if you look at the names of his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, that means forgive and forget. You see, there's grace, there's forgiveness that you can see in the life of Joseph. And certainly those are Christian qualities. But before Christ came, or before Christ will come, should I say, in the future, to reign as king, he first had to come as a servant, as one that suffers. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. See, you see, God resists the proud, but he gives his grace to the humble. And you and I, or anyone listening, or any sinner man, they need to be humbled. They need to willingly say in their heart, Lord, I've done wrong in my heart. Please come to me. A proud man cannot enter heaven. You must humble yourself if you want to be saved. And we can look in the life of Joseph that he suffered. We can look at the life of Christ that he suffered. You can look at the life of Paul. When Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, and then later when he went to that first house, it was an Ananias, I forget the guy's name, he said that he had shown Paul the things that he must suffer. If you want to do anything for God, if God has laid his hand upon you, or you'd like to go into the ministry or whatever, there's going to be some suffering that you'll have to endure first. There's going to be perhaps some rejection that you'll have to endure first. And certainly we can say that if you become a Christian, many of your friends and some of your family will reject you. There has to be this rejection. And nobody, obviously nobody likes this message. Nobody wants to hear about rejection and what have you. But the way of the cross, we know that Christ had to suffer. We know that Christ had to suffer the indignity of being stripped, beaten, and nailed to a cross. But Christ came through Judah, but Christ also came through the way of suffering through Joseph. Let's finish this passage here. It says, verse 25, it says, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors under the uttermost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. You see, Christ suffered. He willingly said, Lord, not my will, but thine. But we know that he rose from the grave, and he will come back again as king. Yes, he is king. Yes, he will rule the world with a rod of iron. But he had to go the way of the cross first. And if we're to follow him, we also need to take up our cross daily and follow him. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.